On opening day of the 1982 baseball season, a few stubborn tailgaters gathered in Bloomington for a cookout in an otherwise empty Metropolitan Stadium parking lot. Other disgruntled traditionalists headed for downtown Minneapolis, bearing placards decrying the advent of corporate baseball. April snowflakes and 55,000 people swirled around them as they explained their contempt for the Teflon-coated fiberglass covering the new home of the Minnesota Twins.
This is not baseball anymore. Our game's been bought by the rich people. We put it under a dome with plastic grass and artificial conditions. It's not baseball anymore.
But picketers' barbs could not puncture the congratulatory mood inside the air-inflated Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome. Donald Poss, executive director of the Stadium Commission, was still basking in his warm reception from fans at two exhibition games the Twins played to open the dome.
They appear to be very pleased, almost ecstatic at what they see. Last night, I could hardly take 10 steps down the concourses for the first 2 hours without being stopped by people that saw my name tag and expressing their absolute delight with the place.
There's the pitch. Swing a bouncing ball to Gotti. He has it. Goes to Herbert, and the Twins are baseball's world champions. The world champion, Minnesota Twins.
In the 17 years since it opened, the Metrodome has seen successes, hosting two World Series and baseball's All-Star Game, as well as the Super Bowl and college basketball's Final Four. A tax on tickets to Metrodome events helped pay for the building in about half the allotted 30 years. But in a reversal of sorts, many of the executives who pushed for the dome are now pining for a dose of nature with their baseball. Twins president Jerry Bell was assistant director of the Sports Commission when the Metrodome was built. Now Bell is leading the Twins campaign for an open-air ballpark near the Mississippi River in St. Paul.
There's a romance to baseball if it's played on grass on a sunny day or a nice evening. And you can't experience that in a football stadium, and particularly not in a dome football stadium.
In the 1970s, Minnesota Vikings executives declared Met Stadium too small for the football team's needs. Reports that the Vikings were eyeing a move to Los Angeles added urgency to Minneapolis's push for a new stadium. Bell says a proposal to build two stadiums, one for baseball, one for football, was rejected as too expensive. Instead, policymakers in Minneapolis and at the state capitol authorized a single dome stadium for the Twins and Vikings and capped construction costs at $55 million. Bell says the Metrodome was the last of several American stadiums designed for big league baseball and football.
About the time that the Metrodome was completed, the industry, both industries, football and baseball, were changing to single-purpose facilities with far more economic benefits to provide the competitive edge that teams need nowadays to compete in the industry.
The sports and architecture industries now call multi-purpose stadiums a failed experiment. The differently shaped fields presented problems for designers struggling to put fans of each sport close to their game. Perhaps more importantly, having two big league tenants makes it impossible for each to claim all the revenue from a building's luxury seating, concession sales, parking, and advertising. At several newer, publicly funded, single-purpose stadiums around the country, one team does control those revenues. Such teams have more money to spend on hiring top players, producing the competitive edge Bell mentioned. The spending has also sent player salaries into an upward spiral. Major League Baseball salaries rose 19% this year, pushing the average salary over $1.7 million, seven times what it was when the Metrodome was built. Bill Lester, the current executive director of the Metropolitan Sports Facilities Commission, says the Metrodome has been deemed insufficient more because of economic than physical considerations.
It isn't that the stadium became obsolete, it's the economics of professional sport, which have gone absolutely zooey. And once a community, be it Baltimore or Denver, Indianapolis, any of these communities that took a significant amount of public money and put it in, that changed the playing field. The playing field is no longer level.
New ballparks are popping up across the country. With one exception in San Francisco, the new buildings are paid for primarily with public funds, and most of the profits generated in the stadium go to the team. The building binge is keeping architects busy. Bill Johnson, a principal at Ellerbe Beckett and the design director of their sports facilities group, says cities are replacing ballparks before they grow old.
There are buildings that we have taken down. For example, Fulton County Field in Atlanta, which was the old home of the Braves, the debt service was not even paid off on Fulton County, and we actually took that building down. So it's not a unique problem that cities are facing.
St. Paul Mayor Norm Coleman has brokered a plan calling for the city, the state, and the Twins to split the cost of a new $325 million outdoor ballpark that would seat 38,000 fans near the downtown riverfront. St. Paul residents will vote November 2nd on whether to raise the city sales tax by 0.5% to help pay for the stadium. Even if voters agree, the deal still needs approval from legislators and Governor Ventura to allocate state money for the ballpark. Opponents of public funding for a ballpark say cities should not invest tax revenue in big league baseball, particularly not with player costs accelerating as they are. St. Paul attorney Tom Montgomery founded the group Fiscal Accountability for New Stadiums.
What's going to happen 10, 15 years from now? A 38,000-seat stadium that's open air? That's why we built the Dome, because they didn't like an open air stadium. It's never going to end.
It's hard to predict whether the ballparks going up today will be longer lived than those built in the 60s and 70s, or if they too will be outdated by newer, more lucrative trends in stadium design. Steve Medema chairs the economics department at the University of Colorado, Denver, where a new ballpark containing restaurants and retail has become a tourist attraction and sparked the revitalization of a dormant warehouse district.
I don't know what they could do next, but then 15 years ago, I wouldn't have envisioned luxury suites and club seats and all that kind of stuff, too. So, I mean, who knows? What's talked about being next is not stadium issues, but things like pay-per-view and so on. Different types of deals with the media, through the media, that are more lucrative for the team itself.
Bill Johnson of Ellerbe Beckett says architects are designing today's ballparks for just one sport, but are trying to make them flexible enough to accommodate future modifications.
We are planning as much flexibility into the new buildings as we possibly can, because we don't know, and we don't know what kind of new multipurpose thing may be the next fad.
Ellerbe Beckett developed renovation plans for the Metrodome that would reorient the building to serve either baseball or football, but not both. To date, neither the Twins nor Vikings have shown interest in those plans. Each team insists it cannot thrive in the future under the Teflon-coated fiberglass of the Metrodome. I'm William Wilcoxon, Minnesota Public Radio.